At the top of the program, many people have been reminded in the past month that the Lansing Board of Water and Light provides electricity to more than just the capital city. Though it's owned by the city of Lansing, the Board of Water and Light has electric customers in 9 other municipalities and townships outside the Lansing city limits. Those include East Lansing and Delta Township. But the Lansing City Charter requires board members to reside in the city. This has led our next guests and others to call for greater geographical representation on the utilities board. Current State welcomes East Lansing State Representative Sam Singh back to the program. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
And Delta Township Supervisor Ken Fletcher also joins us this morning. Ken, good to see you.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Before we get into the issue of board representation, let's address the fact that the Lansing City Attorney apparently will rule that the meetings of the Community Review Team are not subject to the State Open Meetings Act. Sam, judging by your tweet early this morning, that is a concern for you. Why should the Community Review Team be subject to the Open Meetings Act?
Well, I think regardless of whether City Attorney of Lansing says it's there's a need for the Open Meetings Act or not, I think the individuals on the board, as well as Mike McDaniel as its chair, can make the decision to keep these meetings open. I don't think there's going to be much discussion here that is of a private nature of, you know, if this was a private companies that were sharing documents and so forth of how much profit and their decision making that might make them, you know, more uncompetitive with other companies, you might say, okay, we should keep these private. But this is a public utility. These conversations should be public. And a number of the people on the board, you know, the 3 representatives from my area, Jerry Richards, who's a former township supervisor of Meridian, Doug Jester, a former mayor of East Lansing, Bev Baden, a former East Lansing council member, they've all lived under the Open Meetings Act for all of their decisions. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask them that they work with their committee members and keep as many of these meetings open to the public, regardless of what the Lansing City Attorney says.
Ken Fletcher, anything to say on that score?
Well, I agree with what Sam has said. The public's looking for answers. People have lost confidence in BWL, and they really want to get to the bottom of what went wrong. And the only way to make sure that the final report is one that everybody can agree with and feel confident that a thorough review was conducted was by having this process an open, transparent process. So I would also encourage them to make sure that they follow the spirit and the intent of the Open Meetings Act, even if they're not covered by it by law.
Now, T.J. Buchholz, the spokesman for the Community Review Team, is on the record as saying, quote, 99% of the meetings that will take place will be open to the public. Does that reassure you? I mean, how much does that potential 1% concern you, Sam?
Well, again, I think there's also an obligation by the committee to say that during that 1%, what were they looking at? Why did they have to go into a closed meeting? You know, in East Lansing, when I was mayor, anytime we went into a closed session, we had to tell the public, this is the theme of why we're going into a closed session. And then they could understand we're in some type of litigation, we have some kind of real estate transaction, this is why we're going into a closed session. So if they are going to go into a closed session, I think it should be apparent to the public, and they should give a rationale why they're going into a closed session.
Okay. We should also point out that the Community Review Team met at 7:30 this morning, and Current State has learned that Kyle Bowman called General Michael McDaniel last night to cite time and job demands and resign from the Community Review Team. Let's move on to the issue of board representation. First, Ken Fletcher, about how many residents in Delta Township were impacted by the outages?
Well, quite a few. The majority of our residents are covered in the BWL territory, and I'd say a majority of those residents were without power for at least some time during that 7-day or 10-day period. So a lot of our customers were impacted. And I've been told that out of the BWL service territory, 37% of their customers do not live in the city of Lansing, and the largest concentration of those people are in Delta Township. So,
and we're talking thousands of customers.
Thousands.
Then if we're talking about that much of the township. Sam, what about East Lansing? Can you put that in perspective?
Sure. About 90% of the city of East Lansing is covered by Board of Water and Light. There's a smaller portion of Meridian Township, about maybe 10% of Meridian Township that's covered by the Board of Water and Light. Obviously, majority of people had some level of outages. Obviously, some in some of our areas, we had, you know, 9-10 days of outages. So obviously, there's a significant portion of the BWL service territory that is in East Lansing and Meridian Township, and that's why I think people like Ken and other leaders have been talking about wanting to have a geographic representation on the Board of Water and Light Board of Commissioners.
Let's look at the current arrangement. When we do, we see a total of 8 board members, all unpaid, all appointed by Mayor Virge Bernero. 4 of those 8 represent each of the City of Lansing's 4 wards. The other 4 are all described as at large, but the city charter apparently requires that all 8 are residents of the City of Lansing. Ken Fletcher, what changes would you like to see to that?
Well, I think BWL has become a regional power company. It's supplying power to, as you said, 9 communities throughout our region. So we need to really turn it into a regional body by having representation from all those communities. And it's something that would be fairly simple to do. It would take a change of the Lansing City Charter, but they just need to amend that so that they can have representation from the other areas outside the City of Lansing. And I think by adding those voices to that board, you'll make it truly representative. You'll give those customers somebody that can, you know, stand up and advocate for them when needed, and I think it'll just strengthen BWL for the long run.
But you're saying every jurisdiction that is currently served by the Board of Water, like Watertown Township, DeWitt Township, all of them should have a member on the board?
Well, I don't know if necessarily you need a member from every single area, but I think you definitely need to have the large jurisdictions that have large number of customers in it, such as a Delta, East Lansing, a Meridian, which has significant number of customers. They should have some type of representation on the board.
Sam Singh, what do you think?
Again, I agree. You know, I sent a letter out to Mayor Bonero and the Lansing City Council about 10 days ago asking them to do a few things. One was to make sure that communities that were in the jurisdiction were represented on the mayor's independent committee. I also asked that they would also take a look at their charter and then open their charter up so there would be outside membership. Now, I do think that's part of the negotiations. Leaders like Ken Fletcher, Mayor Nathan Triplett, other leaders in the region who have Board of Water and Light representation need to sit down with the City of Lansing and say, you know, based on maybe number of customers, who should have a seat on the board? How are those seats actually chosen? Are they chosen by the municipality and then automatically put onto that board? So I think those are numbers of the local conversations that have to happen. But I think if you want a Board of Water and Light that is really regional in purpose and regains the trust that it has lost over the last month and a half, I think you have to do something of this nature.
Do you think the city administration is, how open to this conversation do you think the Lansing City Administration, Mayor Virge Bernero, are to this conversation, Ken?
Well, they're definitely open to the idea of having some type of representation and some type of voice. You know, what form that takes is part of the discussion that needs to go forward. I would advocate that they have a full voting right on the BWL board. Others have talked in terms of having some type of citizens advisory panel that could, you know, advise the commission. So those are part of the discussions going forward, but I'm going to certainly advocate that it be full voting representation.
Now, Sam, would you expect the community review team to make this issue a part of their deliberations or final recommendations, let's say?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually have this as one of its recommendations. I already know from talking to Board of Water and Light commissioners themselves, there's an openness by the commissioners to actually have the city take a look at their charter and kind of open it up to other communities. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see this independent committee also make that same type of recommendation. But I do want to go back. You know, for many years now, the City of Lansing has asked the county, especially in Ingham, and other jurisdictions to kind of help become more regional. So we've done this with Parter Park Zoo, the 911 dispatch that we decided to regionalize for the City of Lansing and the other communities for Ingham County now, 911 dispatch, actually helped save a lot of money for the City of Lansing. And so there's been a lot of requests for these outside communities to help regionalize a number of assets for the City of Lansing. So it's in the same spirit that I think many of these communities are asking the City of Lansing to help regionalize the Board of Water and Light.
Sam, are you as confident as Ken Fletcher seems to be that the City of Lansing is as open to this expanding geographical representation on the board as he thinks?
Well, again, there were positive comments so far in the news media. My brief conversations with the mayor and a few of the council members show an openness. But again, in the end, is going to be what is the details of the arrangement, and those conversations haven't happened. Again, those are not conversations that I should necessarily be involved in. Those are things that, you know, Delta Township, City of East Lansing, Meridian Township have to be negotiating with the City of Lansing and with the Board of Water and Light. But my anticipation is that that openness at least allows for this opportunity for broad geographic voting rights on the Board of Water and Light.
I just sit here and wonder how territorial this could become. I mean, the status quo limits all of the board members to residency in the City of Lansing. This would be a significant change.
And you would have to ask the people of Lansing to vote on that as well, you know. And I think there can be a convincing case made to the citizens of Lansing why this needs to happen. They have to approve the charter amendment in the end. But I do think if you ask the general public to embrace something like this, they will.
And this is clearly just a case where you are just adding representation to everybody who's being serviced. The City of Lansing would not be losing anything. The residents of Lansing would not be losing anything by adding that representation. It's just really having the board recognize the fact that over time, BWL has become a regional power company. It's not just a City of Lansing company that serves only the city any longer. It's one that serves the whole region. So let's have the board reflect that.
Well, there's also dollars, a lot of dollars that are involved in this equation. According to the independent auditor's report, the Board of Water and Light paid the City of Lansing at least $16 million last year and $12 million in 2012. What do you make of that arrangement, Ken?
Well, I have concerns about it because, you know, right after the storm was over with, Peter Lark, you know, announced that they would have to go for a rate increase. For a large part of that would go towards paying for that money that's going to the City of Lansing. And I know the residents who live in Delta who, you know, get service through BWL said, hold it, why am I being asked to pay for that money that's going to help support the Lansing budget, especially when in Delta we have a power plant too. You know, they have the Erickson Power Plant located in Delta that we have to supply with police and fire protection. We have to supply, you know, roads and maintain them to the plant. So we have to provide all the same government services that Lansing's being reimbursed by BWL for their plants and facilities that are in the city. Well, we're saying if you're going to come and ask for a rate increase to reimburse BWL for that money that they're being asked to give to the city, well, then they need to look at, we need to have a payment in lieu of taxes in Delta to provide for those services as well, or just get BWL out of the business of sending money over to communities. You know, they're there to supply affordable power, you know, reliable power at an affordable cost. That's their mission. So let's have BWL focus on that as opposed to becoming something that's used to help balance the city's budget or even in some cases, you know, redevelop Rio Town. It's there to provide power. That's their first and primary, you know, purpose for existing, and we need to get back to that.
But which would you prefer? Would you prefer that Delta Township actually receive some of the funds in the same way that the City of Lansing does?
Well, I personally think that the residents should not have their rates artificially increased to have money being diverted, you know. So we were willing, and we have for a long time, not received anything from BWL. But if we're looking at, you know, more and more money is going to go to the City of Lansing, and if our residents are going to be asked to have a rate increase to pay for that, then in fairness, then we need to have a payment in lieu of taxes as well. So I'll advocate for that to make sure that my residents are getting what they deserve. But I think that at the end of the day, we'd all like to see good, reliable power and affordable cost. So I'd like to see those rates stay as low as possible. So I think that each community should fund their budgets without, you know, using BWL as the source of making that happen.
Sam?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, you know, as I testified at the BWL hearing that they held at East Lansing last week, I also shared this with Mike McDaniel, the chair of the Independent Review Committee. One of the things I want them to do is do a set of benchmarking. And I want them to look at all the public utilities in the state of Michigan and take a look at what those public utilities are doing in regards of payment in lieu of taxes and resources back to the communities that they've been chartered from. And then see, is that an appropriate level and amount? You know, I heard from a number of commissioners, again, in the media, that they felt that if they had those, some of those resources, they could have been better prepared, perhaps, for the storm. for different types of investments. And so we have to find the right balance. I probably do think it's appropriate to have some level of payment in lieu of taxes, but the question is this the right level? And then the other question that has to be answered by this independent committee, as well as the Board of Water and Light internal review, is if they had these resources at the Board of Water and Light, what would they have done with them? Could they have been actually better prepared to deal with this? Could they have had a better communication systems in place? One of the things that they suggest that they, failed them during this storm was their communication system. Well, could this communication system been better? Had some of those dollars not necessarily been going to solve budget problems, but actually been there to do core operations of the Board of Water and Light. And I'm hopeful that both committees, the internal review from Board of Water and Light, as well as the external review, will touch on some of those issues.
Well, what do you make of the recent new contract with the local PR firm, with Martin Wehmeyer in Lansing, between the Board of Water and Light and them?
Well, again, I definitely think, communications was done very poorly. I'm surprised they actually haven't let some people go within their communications department. I know they have an open position for operations. We know some of the operations failed. They'll have a new person there. I think they probably need to have a new person heading up their communications. And so to bring in an outside firm like Martin Wehmeyer actually makes a lot of sense to me, because you need some outside expertise to kind of fix the wrongs that happened with communication during the last 6 weeks.
Ken, what should happen regarding Peter Lark?
Well, I think that the internal review and the external review needs to be completed before any decisions really are made on any personnel changes. I think you need to really have that assessment on what went wrong, what was right, what needs to be changed, and then you do an honest assessment if the people there are capable of making the necessary changes, or if you need to change leadership to bring about those reforms. So I think that's a decision to come after the reviews are completed.
What are you hearing from your constituents most often, Ken?
Well, my constituents are just angry that they had such a hard time getting any response from BWL during this crisis. That not only, the lack of communication coming to them, but they were upset about the inability to really even connect, to really get feedback from people, the misinformation that they were told. At one point, they were told that BWL knew of all the downlines, so they did not need to be reported. And then later, a few days later, it was they didn't know all the lines that were down and needed to know that information. And just so much misinformation just really have left them with a lack of confidence in the ability of BWL to really provide reliable power. So they are concerned every time they hear that there's bad weather coming, are we going to have another crisis like this? So they really want to have that confidence that things have been fixed. So that's why I think this review process is so important.
We want to thank our guests here, Delta Township Supervisor Ken Fletcher. Ken, thank you. State Representative Sam Singh of East Lansing. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.